Well, if we've got our heart where our heart belongs, well, then the message of God should fit in our hearts then. We should be able to take what God has to say and take it to heart. And these are days when we want to see these things, not only something to read about and preach about, but things we can testify about that God did. Not just things you read about, no, things you hear about, things you see, things you know that we can give God honor for and glory. Can we say amen to that? Well, that's the way it ought to be. I've been stretching out a little bit here from this message of Pentecost. And chapter 3 is just another part of what God was doing in bringing forth this blessing in the life of the apostles, showing an example that this is the way God would want things to be. This is the way He'd want things to go on. He surely wants to see those good things that He gives taken to heart and be used. And God, in giving the gifts of the Holy Ghost, what a precious thing He delivered to us. And should we lay them on a shelf? Should we? Should we put them aside and just kind of leave them there? Or should there be some kind of an expectation deep in your heart where you expect and desire? You'd like to see none of those gifts just flowing. Not one of them, not two of them, nine of them. Just flowing. Just a part of the work of God. Just something that can be in the daily routine and the work of the Lord, that here is all of this great help of God, and people need it. People need it. They need this great help of God. So we want to be in the realm here where this is our hearts. We want to see restoration. We want to see God restore into many lives the good spiritual things. I've often said, if you're not careful, you can lose the things by just laying it aside. Just lay it aside, don't use it, and wind up and feel after a while and to be saying in your heart, well, I think I really lost it. It doesn't seem to be there anymore. It wasn't true of Peter and John. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the third hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. Well, there's activity and there's action. So we are going to look at a situation and say, well, Pentecost brought something. Pentecost brought something. There were days when Peter and John could have walked by and maybe put a little money in his cup or something, but would have been able to do little of anything to help him, to bring deliverance, to help somebody. So walking with Jesus, living for Jesus, walking day after day with the Lord, surely being present to obey the Lord and abide, you know, at Jerusalem until they would be endued with power from on high. Now they're not afraid to go out and to step out and do what God gave them to do. So they're in a situation where they're just going to do what comes naturally. No, they're going to do what comes spiritually. Take the heart. Hey, God gave them something, and they're just going to find that this will flow into their life and work through them. So we thank God. There's that blessing. And don't we need blessings tonight? Is there anybody around town tonight that needs healed or needs a miracle or needs deliverance? When isn't there somebody? When isn't there somebody hurting? When isn't there somebody crying out? When is there someone all day after day praying, oh God, help me. Lord, help me. Hey, we should want and desire in our heart to see everyone helped. Everyone brought to the point in their heart and life that they can find the answer they need in Jesus. He has it. But oftentimes there's that little realm where people kind of don't really look too much. Maybe pray now and then, oh Lord, help me, but you got to get into it, you know. And I think we should all want to get into it. Get right into it. Hey, the gifts of God are for us. You know that. They're for us. And God wanting these gifts, and He's the one who would divide them severally amongst us, that everybody could have gifts of God in their heart and life. Well, Peter and John now, they're going to find a little bit of what God did in the upper room for them. They come out of there with the power of God. So we see Peter then, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple to ask an alms, then Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And expecting now that something is going to happen. I would that you and I could go on a tour sometime for about 3 years and just walk along and follow Jesus. Or walk along then maybe for a while and follow someone that had followed Jesus for about 3 years and see what on earth goes on and how the power and blessing of God is able to, you know, minister and move and bring forth such blessing. So this is just a daily routine here that they're taking up. My, they can expect now they had did some of these things from time to time as the Lord sent them out. He got them prepared for this. But now they're kind of on their own. Now they've got to depend on the Spirit. Now they've got to just depend on the Holy Ghost, who's going to lead them and will also anoint them and use them. So there they are, now about to go in the temple, and there to ask for money. And Peter fastened his eyes on him with John, said, look on us. They might get their attention now. Get him in the place here where he's going to somehow get some expectation that there is something for him. There is help. Here's a man who could have a hard time, you know, finding that somehow there could be help for him. Somehow that there could be help, that God could help him in some way. Nobody would want to be in that man's shoes. No one would want to be in his place. No one would want to be sitting where he's sitting. No one would want to be down, crippled, hurt, going through a life like this, unable to care for yourself as you should. But Jesus. Then Peter said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, such as I have, give I thee. And so we recognize that they're willing now to impart to that man the blessing that God has given to them. Now, I think you and I ought to look like we have something. I think you ought to act like you have something. I don't think you ought to act like you're a new Christian, you got saved last night, and you don't feel like you have anything but just your salvation. I think you ought to act like you have something from God in your life that God has gifted you to use. Sometimes maybe it takes some folks a while to see or to sense that God puts something in your life. God wants to use us. God chose the church as His vehicle to work through, His means of reaching out. So when the Lord ascended back into heaven, He left the church. And this was the thing the church should take care for. That through the church, through the power of the Holy Spirit working, that believers were going to come into this realm. So tonight I think we all ought to look as though we have something. And if we can't feel that we have something, surely we ought to pray in earnest and seek God that we do have something. That we do have a gift of God. That we do have a purpose. That there is something that God can use us for. So which one of us, I mean, who are we belittling, you or God? Now, catch me here. I mean, listen to me. Who are we belittling, you or God? We could look at it and say, well, there's nothing I can do. Well, who am I belittling, me or God? God can't do it, or I can't do it? Hey, listen, nothing that God can't do. There's nothing that God can't accomplish. There's nobody too sick for God to heal. There's nobody too, you know, broken up for God to put back together. There's nobody that God can't take care for. There's no need that He can't meet. So you and I want to look at God then in this light you know, there's all power and there's all might. But there's a willingness. There's a heart in God. God has those gifts and He wants to use them. But you know, the church has got to come to the point where the church looks and says, hey, this is what God gave to meet my needs. This is what God gave to minister to me or to minister to my needs, also that He could minister through me, that I could be a vessel to help in others. So tonight, let's think in our heart, God is able. Then if God is able and He chose to work through men, well then, why don't you think deep in your heart then that you're one of them? God would choose to work through your life. Now that's His purpose. That's the purpose of gifts. That God can work through your life. It brings the power of God and the blessing of God into you in a manner where He can work it through you. He can work it in your life. He can work it at your hands. He can work it at your mouth. He can work that which then He purposes. So the church has got to be an active place. I think the church is active, but it can be an active place for the full blessing of God and the full restoration of spiritual things, that people get the vision that God's church, the church of Christ, is to be a busy place. It's to be a place where the manifestations of God are very common. They're there. So I don't see where God ever took it away. And I could see in a lot of places they haven't heard a prophecy for ages. You could see in a lot of ways, but you can yourself kind of sit down and just kind of forget God is still doing these things where men will enter in. So silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now Peter's learned the way here pretty fast. I wonder how many times he saw Jesus in a similar fashion, may take someone's hand or just command him, get up and walk. And suddenly they're miraculously healed, rose and walked. So it's just the way they learned it. It's just the way they saw the Master work, that these works could be done. You know, I don't want to think as I look at Jesus that there was any lack. There wasn't any lack of anointing. There wasn't any lack of power. There wasn't anything that He couldn't do. Only one time is it recorded that Jesus prayed the second time for the same person. A man who was blind, and Jesus prayed the second time. He prayed for him and said, do you see anything? And he said, I see men as trees walking. Everything was still blurry in his eyes. And Jesus touched him again, and then he could see clearly. Saints of God, if I had to pray 10 times, I still would want the sightless to see. That God, having mercy, ministering, meeting that need. Now, taking the man by the hand, by the right hand, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Now you can see the Holy Ghost at work. They did something, and so did the Holy Ghost. Who did the healing? Did Peter do the healing, or did God do the healing? The gift of God. Hey, the working of the Holy Spirit. The moving of the Holy Ghost, the anointing. The anointing was there. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that brings deliverance. And surely, this is what we want to see. Deliverance. Seeing the anointing flowing that can minister through us to meet the need in someone's troubled life. So, immediately, suddenly now, immediately, hey, that man's feet and ankles were healed. And that man now could get up. And we could look and say, it only takes a moment, doesn't it? It only takes a moment. It only takes getting a little attention. Getting a man to get their mind on the fact that they can have it and that God would be willing to raise them up. I suppose a lot of folks are like the man that Jesus met at the pool of Bethesda there, where, he lay there in the way and couldn't get down the path down to the water, and always discouraged because whenever there was a troubling of the water, he could not get down there. He needed someone to carry him, someone to drag him down and put him in, and he never made it. But Jesus came by, and you know this situation. Jesus now just came up to one person. Came up now and said, "Will you be made whole? Will you be made whole?" And he started making excuses why he couldn't. Because I can't get in the water, I can't this. So it took a little moment or two to get his attention that he could do. You know, he could have, he could believe here. And God could raise him up right here from where he was. And Jesus commanded him to rise up. And he also, and he leaped up and he was healed and he was made whole. And suddenly his infirmity was gone. He was delivered. And he walked out of that place that day. He walked out and made whole. You know, there still was a lot of people there. There was a crowd there. There were people there. They weren't receiving anything. It just wasn't what Jesus was doing that day. He didn't go to every one of them. But he met this one along the way. And I think maybe he wanted to make an example out of that man for some reason. To make an example. So he certainly made an example in the man's life that he came to meet him later. And the Lord gave him a warning. And the Lord gave him something to think about. And told him, "Now, you know, you're made whole. Go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." Somebody said, "The things that I've got now are bad enough. I don't want something worse." Amen? Hey, the thing that I'm troubled with tonight is bad enough. I don't want something worse than what I got. Well, you see, there was a man who no doubt it was sin in his life that got him into trouble. And it was in that kind of a situation the Lord is warning him about. "Hey, you've got deliverance now. Hey, I set you free. Now go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." So you could take that warning pretty serious. A worse thing could come upon him. Later he could be worse than he was before. All because maybe not wanting to quit, give up, and thoroughly take the deliverance the Lord would give him from the thing that troubled and plagued his life. But he got delivered. He got set free and went down the road. And you know, we could take that to heart. Here's a man now, and Peter and John has taken him by the hand, you know, to lift him up, just give him a little help to get on his, at least up on his foot or get his foot under him. But immediately the Holy Ghost took over, and the Holy Ghost brought deliverance. And then he could really rise up. You know, I like to think about the things you expect to see and seeing God work. You never know just how somebody's going to respond or react to the power and to the blessing of God. But there's a man, once he got his feet under him and got up, boy, he started leaping. He started shouting. He started magnifying God for what God did for him. Hey, that's all right, isn't it? And here's a man, and here's his miracle. And this miracle is meant to do something and accomplish something. You know, think of this miracle like a tool. Hey, here's a real sharp tool in your hand now. Hey, this tool will really work where others fail. Here's a real tool. It's called the gift of miracles. Amen? It's a real tool in the hand of the preacher. It's a real tool in the hand of the miracle worker doing the work of God. It's a tool you use. It's something that works in your life, and through it, God reaches out here and uses it to His honor and glory. And here's a man, now he's rose up, he's leaping, he's shouting and praising God, and surely going on into the temple with Peter and John. Well, we got to bear in our mind now there's a purpose here. Hey, there's something more than just a man getting healed. Something had to happen that day. He was destined to be a blessing. And he leaping up, stood, and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and knew that it was he which had sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now that's the kind of a miracle that's going to affect the lives of others who may not have seen a miracle, or maybe more amazed to see a miracle in Peter's life or John's, may have saw Jesus working miracles because he worked miracles at the temple. But here's something has happened now. And so we recognize now that God would use this. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So there's a crowd now. It's gathered a crowd. Hey, there's a crowd of people. No doubt people going to prayer would mean there's a stream of people in there at that time. Right at the right time. Well, God times things out. He'll get you there at the right time. He'll do the work at the right time. There's a lot of people now. You know, there are 3 daily trips to the temple to pray. They're going up to the temple to pray. That's where Peter and John was going. They were on their way to the temple to pray. And now here's this man, and he's miraculously healed, and starting, all the people are seeing something's going on over here. And so everybody starts coming. They're looking. They're wondering like you would. And they're wondering what's happened. And so here's what happened. God was at work. Amen. So Peter now is going to preach his second sermon under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to think there's just something as miraculous about preaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost as there is any other miracle that God does. It's just absolutely something that goes beyond yourself. Anointing is just not something of yourself. You're not any different than you ever were. It's just when the Holy Ghost comes into your life, how He is able to bring anointing and how He's able to cause you to do things that you never would do or could do on your own. Hey, tonight, you be conscious of this. What you need is the anointing. What you need is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's what you need. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing is what breaks the yoke. The yoke is figurative of the bondage that's in lives. And many people are yoked to sickness and yoked to disease and yoked to problems and troubles, and they need loosed. And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that broke the yoke on this man's life. The yoke here in his life was he was unable to get on his feet and walk. All he could do was be carried over here. And he was carried there daily and laid at this gate. He was a total cripple. But there that day, laying at that gate, right there as Peter and John were ready to pass by, we see now there's a man, and he's what we might think a hopeless case, but not when you get to look at what God would do. God would use that man. God would use his troubles. God would work through this, through the preacher, and here the miracle takes place, and it's going to do a great work. And when Peter saw, he answered and said unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" So you notice Peter goes right to work. He goes right there. Hey, God, give him an opportunity. It may be prayer meeting, but what prayer meeting is going to be any better than this one? It's gathering a multitude of people. And so Peter has got the message now. And God wants him to preach it. And God's going to give him the opportunity. So he brings this point to light. And we could bring it to light as well. You know, why look he so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? Now, by our own walk, you know, here of life, our own holiness, or as to say, our own manner of person. Hey, these things are not done by that. These works are done by the power of the Holy Ghost. And Peter wanting them to know it wasn't by something of our own that this man is made whole that stands here before you. So not by our own power or holiness. So we look on to say Peter knows what the crowd needs, and so he's being led of the Spirit, and he's going to say the right thing. God's message is right in his mouth. He's going to speak right up. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. We'll get right down to the issue. Gets right down to the issue of the crucifixion. It gets right down to the issue of, hey, there's still some of these people, you know, they were there that day in the crowd crying, crucify him, crucify him. They were there and they were moved by the multitude in that day that they joined ranks to, and, you know, they weren't standing out on their own. And there's a multitude there, and they had been partakers in the death of Jesus. And God's not going to just stand by and not mention this. And we got to realize God's not going to take you around the corner out back to tell you this. He's going to tell you right up front, and he's going to speak to these people about this very issue. If they're going to get saved, they're going to feel conviction. If they get saved, they're going to feel that some of the things which they did and the things which they didn't embrace and believe about Jesus, they themselves were at fault. And that they were wrong, and they would need to hear that and be pricked in their hearts that they might be saved. They might be delivered. So we have to bear in mind there's something to preach. So the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. When Pilate in his own mind didn't see any fault in Jesus, didn't see any reason why Jesus should be in this state, knew in his own heart that they were doing this thing because they were filled with envy against Jesus. The high priest and his whole crew, they were all envious of Jesus. They were envious. They could not match him in anything. They couldn't match him in a conversation. They couldn't match his wisdom. They couldn't talk him down, you know, no matter what they said, nor no matter how many times they tried to tempt him to say things he shouldn't say. Jesus was always on top. But the work, the might, the power, the miracles, the great fame of Jesus that went abroad, all the mighty works that Jesus did. Now, all of those works certainly, you know, weren't done in a corner. And these people knew that. And here's people that knew that Jesus did it. Now, they also knew that Jesus was crucified. Now, his works are still going on. That's the interesting part there to look at, isn't it? Jesus has ascended into heaven, but the work is still going on. Which is more of a witness to say, surely God raised up his Son Jesus from the dead. He truly ascended into heaven. And here now is imparted the power of the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And here the work of Jesus is just continuing right on. And here the Holy Spirit working in such a mighty way. But he denied. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Well, that's like a hard slap in the face, you know, to say. But think of what he said. There was, at the time now, when they were petitioning Pilate, when they wanted to crucify Jesus, Pilate brought up the fact that, you know, it was like a ritual. Once a year, you know, at the Passover, they would do this. They would release a prisoner, someone that the Jews really wanted to get released from prison. And they would see that they would mention the one and they would be released. And this was a time when they would have done that. So now you have to kind of think in your mind, now there's a choice. And the choice was, whom do you want me to release? Jesus of Nazareth or Barabbas? Well, a multitude cried out. They wanted Barabbas to be released. He was a murderer. Nay, desired a murderer to be loosed unto them, and the Son of God to be sent to Calvary. You know? That's the thing which they did, and the thing which was in their hearts. So when Jesus the apostles is dealing here and taking to heart now, this is what they're saying to him. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you. Well, they missed it, didn't they? How blind they were. They couldn't see. You know, I think that oftentimes we could see that a few people can surely motivate a lot. It's like the common thing today. Maybe you heard it on the news today, but you know, a big sports event and the team wins and a few people seem to get everybody started. And my, from a ball game of some kind, and now, you know, everybody's in the mood to riot and burn cars and what? What happens to them? What brings this on? What happens that brings a multitude to go down this road and be so destructive and do these things? Hey, I suppose we might say the truth. Hey, it's the devil, you know what I mean? Hey, they're always wanting to incite somebody. Well, people can be, you know, incited, and they were incited here at the time when Jesus was there. Now, and it was mentioned, now who do you want me to release? And they were crying out. They wanted to see Barabbas released. They wanted a murder to be granted unto them. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. So they wanted a murder granted. And then they were persuaded to partake in this and their demand and their crying out that they wanted, Barabbas is released, and Jesus to be crucified. Away with him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Well, he's sure not dead. And his work sure goes right on. And though he is not here that they can see, yet the same power, the same anointing. We know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So we know now and we understand there's something to all of that, isn't there? That surely that same anointing, it's that same anointing that's got to get on you. That same anointing that's got to well up in you if you're going to work the works of God. Wherever we work a work of God, it's going to be that same anointing. The anointing is the same. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost that God gives. And by the anointing, the yoke is certainly broken. By the anointing, the man was made whole when they took him by the hand. By the anointing, it was the anointing of the Holy Ghost that quickened that man and made him whole. It's that anointing. Now, you got to recognize that anointing. The anointing is the same, no matter who it is in. The anointing would be the same. Any man of God who's anointed, it's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. On the fourth chapter of Luke, in speaking in the synagogue at Nazareth, Jesus made mention of how the anointing of the Lord was upon him. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him because, and all the things that the anointing would do, there's a work for that anointing to do and to accomplish. In his life, it was given to him in this, that the Spirit of God was not given to Jesus by measure. He had a fullness there. And my, what a fullness could do and accomplish. You have a measure of the Spirit of God. How great a measure? Hey, we don't all have the same measure. We have a measure of the Spirit of God. We've been filled with the Spirit. We've been given the Holy Ghost. And it's that Holy Spirit within us that really brings the anointing and well up in us and work in us. Now, that anointing can increase. That closeness now and that infilling of the Spirit of God can increase in our heart and life. And the more God wants us to move out in Him and to be anointed. Now, the anointing breaks the yoke. You've got to understand that's That's the power. That's where it's going to be broken. There was an anointing there. So that anointing on your life is that gift that operates in your life. It's that anointing now doing it. And this man was made so completely whole. Everybody's amazed at that as they're looking. But Peter's still preaching. Peter's still preaching. He's wanting them to know. And for your good, and for your knowledge, and for your understanding, you listen carefully, and this will tell you something. It's verse 16. And his name, whose name? Jesus. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath made him, hath gave him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, you got to understand there's a power and an unction that God works in. And one thing is clear here, that name. Now, I want you to understand the power in the name of Jesus, the anointing that will flow when you're ministering through the name of Jesus. Hey, the name of Jesus. God will honor that name. You know, the Scripture teaches us God has given to Christ a name, exalted him and gave him a name above every name that's named. And so much God exalted him that he said, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God. And in that day, surely, there's not a knee that's not going to bow. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee. Hey, without fail, every knee. No man, I don't care how wicked, how much of a God-hater he might be, one day he'll be on his knees, and he'll confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hey, it's one of those things that God will not let man get by and not say. But we're talking about the glory. We're talking about the glorified Christ, and we're talking about the power of the name of the glorified Christ. Now, you recognize he was given the Holy Spirit. Now, you can go into the Scriptures in the book of Revelation and find out that Jesus was given the seven spirits of God. Now, we don't have any way to understand that. Seven spirits, you know? To say the seven spirits, our major teaching is the Holy Spirit of God. But that may just be a figure too to sum up the sum total of the Spirit of God that was given. But it talks about the seven spirits of God now sent into all of the earth. Now we know that's a working of the Holy Spirit. In sending now the seven spirits of God throughout the whole earth to work the works of God. Well, you understand and take to heart in your own desire to know there's power in the name of Jesus. Calling on the name of Jesus can save your soul. Calling on the name of the Lord is what we were taught to do to be saved. He that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But in the realm of working, Peter started out in the name of Jesus. He started out in his purpose here to minister to this man, and he spoke unto him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now you can't take that out of that and expect to come up to know and to understand. The name of Jesus. Now, when you get down to the conclusion of the matter, Peter is saying that name by faith in that name. Now, not just the name of Jesus, but Peter putting his faith in the name of Jesus. By you putting your faith in the name of Jesus. You can put your faith in the name of Jesus the same way yourself, in the name of Jesus, by calling that name. Now, we know you can fail utterly by calling on the name of Jesus in some cases, like we have in the 19th chapter of Acts, and one Sceva now and his seven boys, they called, over a man that was possessed with devils, and they called over him the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Evident, they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know that power, but that name was real nevertheless. So my, all it did was stir up the devil, and the devil, hearing the name of Jesus, turned and pounced on them. And my, he ran those men out of the house wounded and naked. My, ripped their clothes off, and down the road they went. But you bear in your mind that you possess this, your ability to use the name of Jesus, the power in that name. We shouldn't use that name lightly. We're warned not to use His name lightly. We should not take the name of the Lord in vain. We should not take the name of the Lord lightly. We should not make light of it in any way. Lots of people make light of the name of the Lord. There's no sincerity in what they say. There's a person probably every second of the day saying, "Oh my God!" They don't mean a word of it. It's just light talk. It don't mean nothing. And if they talked about who is their God, someone might say, "There he is over there. His name is Satan." They just use it as a figure of speech. There's power in that name, and you recognize that power. That power in the gospel now. That power in the Holy Spirit. We use the name of Jesus, and we should bear that in our mind ourselves, that that name is mighty and that name is powerful. And here it's just written out for you, so you should understand that and clearly know it. And His name, through faith in His name, made this man strong. Now you see, Peter summed that up for us, how that miracle happened. That name, through faith in that name. Now if we take that to heart, if you take that in and embrace that and believe it, then you know there's a way that you can get through and move the hand of God. And here's a quick way. That name. Now the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is powerful, and we who know Him, we who love Him, we who walk with Him, we whom we can say surely to us is Lord, using His name. We have many things that we do that we use His name. And in the course of a given day, how many times do we use the name of Jesus? Well, I don't believe in using the name of Jesus lightly. If we're going to use the name of Jesus, then I want to have some meaning behind it. And we're going to call on the name of the Lord. Well, we're going to call and recognize in His name. We're calling on Him. We're here in the earth. He's in heaven, and we're calling upon Him. We can call on His name. We can cry out His name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, just call out His name. The Lord had descended into heaven, but surely God was as present could be. The power of the Spirit of God made manifest. So tonight, let's think in our hearts. There's that unction and that anointing. It breaks the yoke. Now, you ought to want your yoke broke, shouldn't you? Now, do you realize that maybe some of you have a yoke on you? Your yoke. It's a yoke. You've been prayed for, and it hasn't fallen off. Come on now. Is that true? Is it a yoke? Is it there? Was it there yesterday? You think it'll be there tomorrow? All depends. We have to look at the yoke. That man had a yoke on his life. Hey, the yoke was broken. By the anointing, the yoke is broken. By the anointing, the yoke is broken. Now, I believe this is true as standing here. You've got to be very firm in your resolve to break that yoke. That you calling on the name of the Lord, that yoke is going to be destroyed. And the thing that we have that the Scripture would surely show us is how we can break that yoke. So the yoke can be broken. It can be loosed. And the thing out of it all is, the bottom line is, it ought to be a thing that glorifies Jesus. This man got deliverance, and it glorified Jesus. It glorified the Lord. See, that's what I've been saying to you about God's words to me was, I'll work these works, but I'll do it for His own reason. He would do it for His glory. For no other reason. Now, you bear in your mind that the glory is a touchy issue. God will not give His glory to another. And if you want a little glory for what you do, you're going to be a glory robber. You see, there's a lot of people who would pray and and God would move and do something, but when all was said and done, then they got up and boasted about an hour about what they did. Hey, look what I did here. I mean, I'm a man of God. You all ought to be able to see. You look now, I'm a man of God. And taking all the glory, leaving nothing to the Lord. And we don't want none of that, do we? Don't you take glory for anything. It's His glory. One thing you can do is take glory in your hand or in your mouth. You know what I mean? His glory, and speak it out. And glorify the Lord for what He did. You can speak His glory that way. You can use His glory, but don't steal His glory. Don't be one of those that always wants to take, like the man who likes to steal someone else's writings, you know what I mean, and call them his own, like he's the one who said all those things. Well, we don't want to do that either. But in this realm, the name of Jesus, you know that name. You've been experiencing life in that name. Just remember the power that's there. And sometime you're going to need to pray. And I don't know any quicker way to get an answer than to cry out in the name of Jesus. To cry out in the name of Jesus. I suppose you've got more answers in just crying out, you know, and crying out in His name, crying out to Him, than you may have gotten in a lot of ways when you took a deliberate time to go and pray. But I thank God tonight. Now, this is not the whole idea of all that was done here. But, you know, this is a soul-winning thing. This is a time when there's a lot of people going to be turned back to the Lord here. So it's more than just a man getting healed. It's God using the thing of healing the man to draw a crowd that He might deal in their hearts. Now, the Scripture goes on just like it did on the day of Pentecost, just like it did that day to bring those people to a place of repentance. That they would turn and repent of their wicked ways, and that in the time of refreshing, that they might be refreshed in their life. But you know, it was a time when God was at work to use a situation and to bring a multitude of people to the Lord, and to turn. And to bring about 5,000 people to the Lord is not a little matter. To bring 3,000 people to the Lord is not a little matter. Brother and sister, I wish we could bring 10 people to the Lord Sunday. Can you say amen? To bring 1,000, to bring a multitude of people to the Lord, hey, I think that's a wonderful thing that God could work in such a manner and turn so many to the Lord at one time. But saints of God, wouldn't you be happy if you could turn one person to the Lord this week? You know, this church wouldn't hold the people very long if we could all win one soul a week. We'd crowd ourselves out of here before we know it, wouldn't we? Just adding one soul a week, just one soul, if you could just find one more that would love the Lord as much as you do, that would love the Lord in the manner you do, to love the Lord and want to go with Him. Oh, what a thrill to our heart and soul when we come to Jesus. Well, I want us to understand tonight there's the power. There's the gift of God. There's the name of Jesus. There's a manifestation of anointing that breaks the yoke. And through calling on the name of the Lord, the anointing came. And the yoke was broken. And the power of the Holy Spirit was strong to bring not only this man his deliverance, but to pull together a crowd. And to reach out to that crowd and turn them away from their way and turn them to believe and begin that day to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I think that's wonderful. That's what we would, look at and say, hey, let's expect God. Let's expect God. Let's expect that yoke to be broken. You ought to what? Expect it to be broken. There's too much of this. I'm going to tell you what it is. You want me to tell you? There's too much of this in our way. The thing that we are looking for is, I just feel I ought to go up and get prayer. That's like saying, I think I'll just go up and get me another sandwich. You know what I mean? It's like you're saying something, I'm going to get prayer. We don't say, I'm going to get healed. We don't talk like we have any faith in what we're going up for. Now, I'm not saying that to belittle you. What I'm saying for you is what you should be doing. And if you want the yoke really broken, then that's what you want the preacher to really jump on then, huh? You don't want him just to pray for you. You want the yoke to be broken. And you know the power of the Spirit of God is what's going to break the yoke. And therefore, if you thought you were going to church tomorrow, and you were going to go there, and there's going to be a meeting, and would you do something the day before? Would you, in your way, prepare your own heart and bring your own faith and just eat up a few of those nice verses of Scripture or Scripture accounts that build faith in the power of God and the healing and seeing it and reading it and getting yourself ready, because I'm going to church today. I'm going to get that yoke broke off my neck. I want that yoke broke off of my neck. I don't want to bear this thing the rest of my life. I want it broken. That's it. You want it broken. Can God break it? Can the name of Jesus, is there power in the name of Jesus? Hey, read that story and you'll know where the power in the name of Jesus lies. That name, through faith in that name. So we should be quick to respond in this, that this is God's way to deliver. And He would that every yoke was broken. God is, in this realm, willing, you know. He wants every yoke to be broken. Why would He want one of us to bear a yoke? You know, there is a yoke. He said, take my yoke upon you. Remember, there's no sickness in His yoke. Hey, His yoke is not a yoke of sickness. It's a yoke of service. It's a yoke of closeness to Him. It's your yoke together with Him. But listen, an old yoke around your neck, how are you going to get out? Remember the story I told you about a yoke around my neck? And it was tied with strings from that in every direction, all the way 360 degrees around me. This yoke was right on my neck. And I couldn't lift it off. It was just wouldn't come off. Hey, I got too much head up here. It wouldn't pull off. Well, it was a yoke, nevertheless. It was a yoke of what? It was a yoke of business. It was my business that was the yoke around my neck. Wow. Can you get it broke? Listen, that yoke got broke. Now, I heard from the Lord. Now, He handed me this big pair of, heavy pair of shears. And He said, you cut the strings and I'll break the yoke off your neck. So let me say, I started cutting the strings, and I cut the strings, and when I got the strings cut, I found God through His Word, and hey, God broke the yoke, and I got out of that. You know, I thought that was a good business, but it wouldn't coincide in my heart and life, and this call to preach this gospel. They couldn't have them both. This wouldn't work. So God saw that yoke on my neck. So, you're in business? Do you ever think of it as a yoke? Does it have that effect on you? It does more than you know. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to be in business. Hey, it wasn't wrong for me to be in business. But it was right for me to say yes to the Lord when He asked me, would I give it up? It was right on my part to say yes. Yes, Lord. I was willing right on the spot. But look, as simple as that is a yoke. I was bound to so many things. How could I go? How could I go serve God and I'm tied to so many things? They're all tied to that yoke. And all I could do is just try to go. And I had too many directions to go in. Too many things. How am I going to serve Him? How am I going to preach this gospel? You want to get your yoke broke? How many of you feel you have a yoke? Oops. You have a yoke. You've got a yoke in your life. When it really comes to light is when it hinders the service of the Lord. Now you'll see, because I never realized business was a yoke. I always realized it was a bondage. It was a bondage. It kept you tied to the wall. Somebody was looking for you all the time. You couldn't escape the telephone very long because they'd run you down. They'd start calling you, and they'd call everywhere they could find you been. They're looking to get on your track because they want. If I hadn't been there yet, why, they'd say, hey, if you see him, tell him to call me. There's always that thing. Somebody was on your case. They wanted you. They needed you. Well, hey, that's more than just to say, you know, that's a bondage. And you get home. And I get home. I used to like to go home for lunch. Just to go home and sit down a few minutes with Sister Haley and have a sandwich. But by the time you got in the door, the phone is ringing. Now you got all these people. Everybody's after you for something. It goes on day after day after day. That gets to be a bondage. That gets to be where, you know, if you let people, they would have you tied up 7 days a week. And they'd have you tied up from as early as you get out of bed till as late as you could go to bed at night. Running you. Oh my! I don't want that kind of bondage. Do you? It can get that bad. It can get that bad. But what I'm saying, I'm not saying that business is wrong, no. If it was wrong, then the business was wrong that I was in. The business was all right. But God made me to see what that business was like in my life to put it alongside of His call. They couldn't be very good bedfellows. Mm-mm. It just wouldn't work. But what kind of bondages we have sometimes and we don't know it. We don't call it what it is. We don't think of it as that. That it's a bondage. It's something that could be broken. It's something could be taken away. It's something we could be delivered of. So I'm going to encourage you in this realm that this is where your thinking ought to be. That if you've got a bondage, that you ought to be praying to this end that God's going to break that bondage. You're going to take that yoke off your neck. You're going to wake up in the morning and it's not going to be there. It's going to be gone. You're going to be free. Hey, that's the way you want it, isn't it? You want to be what? Free. Are you free? Are you really free? We are taught in the Scripture, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You know what deals with our being freed from sin and coming and giving our life to the Lord, and He set us free. But also that the Scripture teaches us not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I don't want to put an old bondage back on. I don't want to get an old bondage and put it back on me that God has taken off of me, right? I don't want to get a business bondage on me again and say, I'm going back in the world and go to business. I'm just going to go back and build up a refrigeration and air conditioning empire. I want to be the biggest and the best. All you'll be asking for is what? A bondage that would crowd Jesus out of your life. I don't want Jesus crowded out. I want room for Him. When I was in business, I had a policy. And when Sunday came, I didn't get up and go to work. Sunday was the Lord's day, and I just didn't run. If I would have ran it, I would have been busy 7 days. No, I didn't mind working Saturday. But Sunday was the Lord's day, I was going to church. Hey, that was it. You had to train people that way. Some people think that you ought to come anyways. But it's church. You got a bondage? You ought to be concerned that that thing is broke, because it's something that's in your life that you can't get out. So you got a bad leg. There's nothing you can do about it, is there? Some of you complain you got a bad knee. I don't know what I did this afternoon, but I come downstairs and all at once my knee joint started hurt. Well, I probably twisted it. Well, I haven't had any problems with my knee, but some of you have a bondage. It's like a bondage. It just is there. Hey, how long do you want that? Well, no matter what our yoke is, we need it broke. You understand? Whatever that yoke is, you need it broken. What are we going to use to break it? I got a sledgehammer. Hey, we'll put your knee on the anvil with a sledgehammer. We'll fix that thing. We'll straighten that out. Is that the way we're going to do it? Hey, we recognize if we do anything to any one of those problems, we're going to do it through the name of Jesus. We're going to do it by faith in the name of the Lord. We're going to do it by the power of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Can we admit it like just like it is? Hey, that's reality. If we break that, we're going to break it by the power of God, or we're not going to break it. We got to break it by the power of the Lord. We got to use His name and through faith in His name. Hey, here's where it is, and there's where the bondage can be broken. Let's get right to it then. Let's not hold back. Let's get our faith there. Hey, what you need to do is you need to take some of your day and your time that you're going to pray, and you need to pray earnestly, and this is the thing you're praying for. God, I want to see this yoke broke off my neck, off my life. I don't want to be sick with this thing anymore. Lord, I'm tired of this, and I want You to loose me and set me free. Well, we can make it the whole reason, you know, because I'm tired of being bound, I'm tired of being sick. Or you can bring it around as you should and say, Lord, I would You take this bondage away, and Lord, do it for Your glory. For Your glory, break this thing off of me. Give You a chance to glorify Him day after day because He did it for you, for His glory. So we think He ought to do it. Listen, you can live till you die, and you can go to heaven. Is that all right? Yeah, I can live till I die and go to heaven. And if you never get healed, you can still go to heaven. Has no bearing whatsoever how sick you are. The day you die, it won't matter. You're sick in bed. You can't open an eye. You can't lift an eye winker. You're so sick. You're so sick. You're dying. You're going to die. And you die, and it doesn't make any difference. You're going to go to heaven. You belong to the Lord. So we recognize the whole issue is that we've got to get everybody healed so nobody will go to heaven. I don't want that kind of theology, that I've got to be so at work to keep everybody so well that nobody from Bethel ever goes to heaven. Hey, we're all going to heaven, aren't we? But listen, there is this realm of reality. Hey, when we're sick, we have gifts of God. Hey, in the Word, we have promises of God of what God would do. That we should be looking to that as a source to say, it's for His glory that I live out my life here. It was for God's glory that the king then had 15 years added to his life. And old Hezekiah turning his face toward the wall, and God saw him and saw his tears. And God added 15 years to him as well as healed him. All of us should realize something for His glory. I believe God wants to be glorified. Now, it's just like this, and I've thought this many times. And I've asked God many times concerning this. Lord, there's people here that surely, Lord, it would just be for Your glory to just give them a marvelous miracle. Well, there you said it. A marvelous miracle. What would you do if God gave you a marvelous miracle? You'd button up your lips and sit down there and shut up and never say nothing? Or would you jump to your feet quite often? Would you give honor and glory? Would you go about the next day? Would you get on the phone and say, would you know what happened to me and what God did to my bad leg? Oh, do you know what God... Ooh, I just felt that. This leg. Sister Daly, you're going to have to pray for this leg. We're always getting a boo-boo somewhere, aren't we? Some of these boo-boos are pretty serious, though. Ain't they bondage? So let's call it what it is. Hey, we need that yoke broke.